Northvold Financial Group.
Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Katie Pavlich from Fox News is going to join us around 8:35 this morning. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you if you want to participate in the show. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. #250 on a mobile device, and saying TCNT will get you in there as well. And of course, keep using the hashtag TCNT on Twitter.
If you've if you're on Twitter and you use the hashtag TCNT, you already know this story. But Sam, you were not the only one that had problems today.
Oh.
Yeah, I wore my slip-on. I wore my slip-on dress shoes today. Right, these ones here. They're a little old.
Okay. Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. So yes. I got to work and I was walking around and it, like, there was something wrong at the toes of my feet. Right. It didn't hurt, but it was, and the shoes are old, so I assumed I assumed the fabric was rolling up, and so I went about my business and made the copies and came in here and set everything up. Went and got my coffee and, you know, came back in and sat down. And then I was just sitting here doing prep, and I could feel it. And I was like, I should really take care of this. This is dumb. I can feel it at my toes. Something's not right. So I'll push the fabric back. And I took my shoe off and then reached inside and found my problem. It was a Nerf dart. Had landed in my...
I can't believe you walked around with a Nerf dart in your shoe.
I know. Well, are soft, so it didn't hurt. Is it like a rock?
Yeah, but just like anything that's like disrupting my feet in their shoes drives me crazy.
Normally, I am 100% with you, but these shoes are a little loose at the toe. The toe's okay. Like just a little bit of space, and so it just didn't... You know, I just wasn't really... I just like, oh, it's just the fabric's coming up. Our house is littered with Nerf darts right now. It's...
Well, I'm one less.
One less now, yeah. I've taken a whole bunch of them hostage because the boys aren't picking them up, and I can't wait for summer to start. It's going to be fantastic. it's going to be great. So glad the boys will be home all the time, and I'll be there most of the day because of my wonderful job.
You don't have to.
It's fantastic. It's great.
You could find, you know, errands you need.
I may actually have to start doing stuff summer rolls around. You know,
you and me, we'll go to Twins games.
We can go to escape rooms.
This always ends badly for me and my brain.
One escape room a week.
Yes.
Did we post that post show yesterday?
No. Oh, okay. I ended up not posting it.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So people aren't really privy to the escape room.
Well, nobody is apparently.
Yeah, nobody is.
Controversy.
Well, it wasn't really a post show. We were talking. It doesn't matter.
I didn't know if we were recording or not. You know, I didn't know if we were rolling on that. So I don't. Yeah. Well, you guys want to go do an escape room?
Yeah. I've always wanted to try an escape room.
Right.
I've always been curious. I don't know if it's something I'll enjoy, but I like puzzles. And so I assume, you know, it's something that I would enjoy doing.
And you guys found a cool one at the Ridgedale Mall, right?
Yes, there's one at the Ridgedale Mall, which right. is very one. Close to here.
Huh? Yeah, we found one.
Yeah, there's one, yeah.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Sam wants to do it for her birthday.
Yeah, my birthday's on Monday, so I said that it would be fun if we did, like, a show outing, you know, for my birthday.
And I offered, I said I would be more than happy to make that your birthday present.
Yeah.
I'll get us all an escape room.
And John was
sitting over there quiet the whole time, just looking at his computer like, I hope they don't talk to me.
Please don't notice me.
Don't invoke my name.
Maybe if I don't move.
If I don't say anything, then maybe they'll just go and they'll do it themselves, and I won't have to be involved in any of this.
I don't like...
And I said, John!
I know, and so Sam went on her, you need to come, you have to come.
Please,
it won't be
John.
Fun unless you come. It's going to ruin my birthday unless you come. And
I don't know if I said that,
I tried to... I still am kind of... I don't like puzzles. That's my thing.
You were going to talk to Melinda and get back to me. And I said, will you get back to us? And you said, yeah, of course I would. You know what didn't happen?
Well, we haven't discussed it until now. And we have.
Did you discuss it with Melinda?
We have other things that we need to get to on the show. I don't know why you brought this up now.
You brought it up.
I don't know. That's not true. Drew brought it up. I didn't say anything.
I said we go to Twins games.
I wasn't pressing the issue. No, and then it was followed. I swear I heard you say, like, escape room Sam's birthday.
Yeah,
and then
it was
we were off and running on this conversation.
It was 100% all Drew. I had no part of this at all.
I don't like puzzles. I never liked
puzzles.
But
you like friends.
No, I know that. I understand that. I love you guys.
Good point.
No, I do. You guys, yes. But let's be honest. I spend a lot of time with you guys.
Not enough.
I do. You know, that's going to
be my
be a
birthday.
Question. I understand. I never, even like yesterday, you posted something, you wanted to. You were upset because something couldn't yield you like financial gain. It was some kind of puzzle.
Yeah, I tweeted, it's very unfortunate that there's like, that being very good at Kokoro puzzles is not a marketable skill.
Right. And I thought it was funny. And then that just reminded me of it because I can't stand doing the crosswords, board games, puzzles, Rubik's Cubes. That is just not, it just causes me anguish.
John, my youth is running away from me, and all I'm asking for is to spend it with you.
I'm going to be here for plenty of your youth.
Why? I like John just fine.
I know. There's... Yeah. It's a whole other level.
Too much to ask. So just get some quality time
somebody,
with a friend.
Somebody very much, and this is not a dig, somebody very much likes to have their way. You know, that's what it is. And sometimes it feels like maybe that's... Like the bigger, it's less about the escape room,
and more about just getting other people to yield to her will.
That is not true. I just want to go do something with my two best friends.
It's kind of true. Yeah, no, not everyone's a horse.
We all have our things.
Break people to your will.
I'm gonna go to an escape room alone, just to spite the two of you.
And I'm not even gonna escape.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna sit there.
I'm just gonna go there, and I'm just gonna sit in there.
Apparently, your car keys are already playing.
Yeah, my car
After
keys
having
are, yes.
dropped them down this, the elevator
this
shaft.
This building has become your personal escape room.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, that's right. Happy birthday.
We're out.
Done. We have no confidence that this is indeed a good birthday present. And we have not determined whether or not this will be a bad birthday present.
I snuck into your house this morning and I rubbed a stick of butter all over your keys. Happy birthday.
So that's butter and Vaseline, because I snuck in and put Vaseline on it. So.
No wonder.
Super slick. Better wear some gloves if and when you find them.
Why are my keys so gooey?
Out of Daily Wire, the DOJ and Mueller's office released a joint statement clarifying Mueller's comments yesterday. So the Department of Justice and the Special Counsel's Office released this joint statement late yesterday afternoon to clarify the remarks made earlier in the day at the press conference by former Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Oh, side note and follow up to yesterday, by the way, it was funny to me because we joked on the show about how I didn't personally know what Robert Mueller sounded like because I'd never heard him speak before. So I was listening to it on the drive home, which was surreal because now I'm hearing his voice without seeing him speak, and he did not sound like I expected him to sound. I don't know what I expected Robert Mueller to sound like, but that was not what I expected Robert Mueller to sound like.
I expected him to sound like a banana slug.
Did you? I expected something more. I expected something more deep. This is Robert Mueller, and we have no confidence that, you know, that Trump did a crime and, you know, or that he did not determine. That's what I expected, and that's not what we got. Be that as it may, that's irrelevant. Carrie Kopech, a spokesperson for the Department of Justice, and Peter Carr, a spokesperson for the Special Counsel's Office, released this statement.
And it was by both offices.
Which is ridiculous. He just gave a press conference.
No, you shouldn't have to release a clarifying statement after Robert Mueller goes up there, doesn't take any questions, has a prepared statement that he's had weeks to work on. Said what he needed to say. If he was being clear, this shouldn't have been necessary. But nonetheless, the Department of Justice and the Special Counsel's Office released a statement that read, "The Attorney General has previously stated that the Special Counsel repeatedly affirmed that he was not saying that, but for the OLC opinion, he would have found the president obstructed justice." So the Special Counsel, again, this statement needs clarification.
It was completely contradictory to what William Barr had said. And Mueller didn't refute what he said to William Barr about this memo that states whether or not you should or shouldn't move forward with an indictment of a sitting president, which is what this whole thing is about. This goes back several years. It's not law. It is sort of
DOJ policy.
Yeah, policy, best practice memo that basically says you shouldn't go and indict a sitting president because of a bunch of numerous reasons. What's really interesting about
the belief is, and again, this is not, I don't think there's no, like, you know, upper court precedent for this, but the belief is that the only body that can hold the president accountable for things is Congress.
Right.
Not the DOJ. That's sort of the operation. Because Mueller even said yesterday it would have been unconstitutional.
Now, here's what's really funny about that. Not funny, but interesting. Is that that policy was put in place prior to the investigation of Bill Clinton. That policy was there. Ken Starr came out with his investigation, of which he found Bill Clinton guilty, to which they moved forward with indictment anyways, based off of that memo that they completely ignored. So the point being is that if Robert Mueller did have evidence to go and bring forward an indictment of President Donald Trump, he still could have done that.
Ken Starr, you know, in his investigation, in his report, like you said, the precedent is there for a special prosecutor for an investigation to yield results that say the president is guilty of blank, blank, or blank.
Right.
The precedent is there. So for Mueller to say that, you know, my job and it would have been unconstitutional for me to determine guilt, you know, that's not true. It's not true.
It's pretty clear, at least in my opinion, it's clear what happened here with Mueller. And I mentioned this earlier, and I'll say it again. This is all political. Like the impeachment process is political. Mueller completely shattered any assumption that he wasn't biased during this entire process. This was completely unnecessary. It was petty and unprofessional. And my takeaway is that Mueller was just like, I did all this. An orange man bad. I'm going to go out and just make my little petty statement just to throw a little right into the little wedge into this whole stupid thing that was calming down.
A prosecutor's job is to prosecute.
Right.
And he spent 2+ years, $40 million, trying to find something to prosecute on. And he didn't. He failed.
It's a joke.
He failed at his job. And so I think what's happening here is some degree of face saving on Mueller's part.
But for you're right, but for what? Like, for him, he's going back to private life. He doesn't want to give a statement. Like, that's the part of it. And I agree with you. I'm not pushing back on that, but it's just like, it is face saving. But what a petty, vindictive thing to do, and how unprofessional. Like, I actually had a decent view of Mueller. And I know there was a lot of, you know, I listen a lot to Dan Bongino, to his podcast, and Ben Shapiro's got some great comments on this as well. You know, and Dan Bongino has been straightforward in his views about Robert Mueller from the get-go, right? Mm-hmm. About how he's not a good guy, how this was rigged from the get-go, and how Robert Mueller was after President Donald Trump. And I kind of brushed it aside because I never saw any tangible evidence of that until yesterday. And yesterday, what he did just completely destroyed any sort of assumption that he was working through this with goodwill and good intent.
Yeah, and the fact that he violated sort of norms when it comes to what a prosecutor is supposed to say or is allowed to say or should not say after an investigation, when the investigation did not yield anything that you can go forward and prosecute on.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to sully the reputation of the person that was being investigated with these ambiguous types of statements that leave people with the ability to walk away and go, oh, well, I can read between the lines.
Yeah. And that's what everybody's doing.
Yeah. You know what? It's what he didn't say.
Right.
That is so important. Look, in this country, in our system of law, unless you're found guilty, you're innocent.
Right.
And Donald Trump has not been found guilty of anything.
Well, and we'll dive into...
But he wasn't exonerated.
We'll dive into this Federalist piece, because this Federalist piece makes a really, really good case about how Mueller contradicts himself throughout his statement yesterday, especially as he's talking about the guilt and innocence of Russia in meddling in our election versus the way that he went and treated Donald Trump. I heard a really interesting, and this is all just theory, right? But I heard a really interesting comment that somebody made about the reason why Robert Mueller did this. And their assumption was Robert Mueller came out and made this statement. Because he's biased, orange man bad, who doesn't like Trump, never has. And that he was specific in saying that any further comments that he would have, right, would not go beyond what he put in the report. Basically saying, if you want to know my thoughts, go to the report. I'm not speaking anything further from that. Basically laying out to Congress, you can subpoena me and bring me up there, but I'm not going to say anything other than what I said in the report. Their theory was that the reason why he did that is because he wanted to make sure he laid the groundwork, because he doesn't want to be asked the question of when did he find out there was no collusion. How soon into the investigation did they land on that conclusion, that specific question he does not want to have to answer.
Right. If he does get subpoenaed in front of Congress, the Republicans are going to ask him some very tough questions, some questions that are going to expose this for the nonsense and waste of time that it really was, and that's why the Democrats aren't doing it.
Right.
That's why. If the Democrats so thought clear. It was politically advantageous for them to subpoena Robert Mueller and have him testify publicly in front of Congress, it would have happened already.
We'll get into more of this coming up. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. This article from The Federalist: Mueller just proved his entire operation was a political hit job that trampled on the rule of law. A little bit later on in the hour, too, we will talk about how apparently the Rolling Stones should stop singing the offensive Brown.
11:30.
Hey, we don't have any plans this weekend. Our good friends over at Project Delta, which is an amazing organization that trains rescue dogs to become sort of service animals for veterans who are dealing with PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Really great stuff that Project Delta is working on. They're having an event this weekend, Sunday, June 2nd, the 2019 annual Veterans Benefit Run. It's a fundraiser ride to support local veterans' homes here in Minnesota. All proceeds from this run go towards helping with the needs of veterans in one of the five vets' homes in our state. Again, it's the annual Veterans Benefit Run sponsored by American Legion Riders this Sunday in Zimmerman. I will tweet out using the hashtag TCNT more information where you can go to get more information and sign up.
We'll talk a little Brown Sugar in the Rolling Stones coming up in a bit. Yeah, there's Ian Brennan. And he's got some problems that we'll dive into.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now?
Oh, sh**.
22 minutes ago, the President of the United States tweeted, Russia, Russia, Russia.
Is that it?
No.
Okay. It would have been great if it was.
Russia, Russia, Russia. That's all you heard at the beginning of this witch hunt hoax. And now Russia has disappeared. Because I had nothing to do with Russia helping me to get elected. It was a crime that didn't exist. So now the Dems and their partner, the fake news media, say he fought back against this phony crime that didn't exist, this horrendous false accusation, and he shouldn't fight back. He should just sit back and take it. Could this be obstruction? No, Mueller didn't find obstruction either. Presidential harassment.
All you have to do is back up to the start. Like, and again, it's that, you know, use the analogies or whatever, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees, you get so close to something that big, you can't see anything at all, repeat the lie enough, everybody will believe it. You know, we're so far down the line of all these controversies with Trump, he's 100% correct. They're talking about obstruction of something that didn't have no evidence that happened, that was made up to begin with. But everybody just wants to ignore all of that.
And I would just ask anybody out there, like, consider yourself. Consider being accused of a crime that you absolutely 100% know that you didn't commit. And not just accused of a crime, but you've got the entire nation every day talking about you committing this crime that you didn't commit. You've got the majority of the mainstream media operating under a presumption that you did indeed commit this crime, that you know you didn't commit. Think about how you would behave. Think about the frustration that would bubble up. All of the obstruction talk sort of just centers around conversations Trump had with his aides or with his cabinet members or things like that. Like, I want to fire this guy. I want to get rid of this. Da, 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 da. But none of it ever happened.
Right.
It was conversations that took place. Those conversations could have been in a moment of heightened frustration where he's just lashing out. Like, why can't I just fire this guy? This is ridiculous. All he wanted to do was have a presidency where he could get things done. When he talked about how, oh no, this is going to be the end of my presidency, the context was, everything I've ever heard is once you get one of these in special investigations rolling, you can't accomplish anything. This is going to hinder my presidency. This is going to make it impossible for me to get anything done. That's why he wanted to end it, but he didn't. And if he didn't, you have no obstruction.
I know that just from the like the relatively minor controversies that have like followed the shows that we've done or things that we've done and claims, I know what that feels like. I can't even imagine, like you were saying. Like, if you were President Donald Trump, the only thing that I think brings him, one, I think he's developed a thick enough skin throughout his years of being a businessman and just being Donald Trump that really assisted him in dealing with this particular issue from the start before even his presidency. But I also think the other big thing that you can always go back and lean on.
The best part of waking up is knowing Hillary lost to Trump.
Because wouldn't that be your default? Like, in the middle of all this, wouldn't you just stop and go, and I was never supposed to win in the first place.
Right.
And that's got to bring you just some level of solace and pause right. to not just pull whatever little bit of your comb-over hair you have left.
Would we even have an investigation into Russian attempts to meddle if Hillary had won?
No, of course not.
I don't think so.
No. We didn't have any conversation.
No. And they would probably do it again next time.
Well, and the proof is, it's not the first time that Russia's done this.
Right.
They've always done this. And that's not a good thing. But we've talked with David Gartenstein Ross. You don't think that Russia was involved the moment the social networking popped onto the scene, especially during the second election cycle for former President Barack Obama or Facebook at the time?
And remind me, because my memory is not the best, but remind me, who was president when Russia was meddling with this election?
Yeah, it was Obama.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Why didn't he do a damn thing about it?
Yeah.
Oh, he came out and he warned us.
Yeah. I'll have more leverage after the next election.
Right? Yeah.
By the way, out of the Hill, Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier that played a key role in the Trump-Russia inquiry, will not assist Attorney General William Barr's investigation of the investigators, according to a new report. So he's not going to cooperate nor answer questions from Attorney General John Durham, whom Barr asked with reviewing the origins of the counterintelligence investigation into President Trump. Man, this guy. Let's go and talk to a man who knows full well.
I actually, in the last segment, I was like, man, I really hope Howard Root calls in.
Yeah.
Sure enough, his ears were burning. He picked up on my brain waves.
You honed into Drew like he was your son.
Here's our good friend, author of Cardiac Arrest, someone who's got a fair amount of experience dealing with prosecutors, Howard Root. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Drew. Yeah, a retired guy like me even got up early today to listen to your talk.
That was the only reason I didn't text you is because I thought you were probably still asleep.
Well, it's going to be a nice day to get on an electric boat and cruise Lake Minnetonka, so you got me right before I get on my boat.
Nice.
So that's good.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I had to call in because you're saying, how does it feel when the government's going after you? I'll tell you how it feels. It feels like you want to lash out at everyone. I mean, I look at what Trump has not done and think he's got the most discretion of anyone I've known, because I went through that, and you have prosecutors beating you up, beating your employees up, threatening you with things that you know did not happen. Your lawyers are throttling you, saying they don't want you to say anything. You can't say anything, and yet you got to sit there and take it for years. So it's amazing that he hasn't lashed out more against Mueller. And then when Mueller's saying, I've got a statement, here's my statement, but I'm not going to answer any questions from Congress or anyone else, well, try doing that if you're a defendant. You know, you can't just give the government a statement on innocence and expect them not to ask you any questions. They have a right to ask you questions. So Mueller, this is a classic example of someone within the deep state who's now being subject to an investigation, lashing out, because he doesn't understand what he's putting other people through when he's been doing this for his entire career.
He's a prosecutor. And as you know, prosecutors, the only way they advance their careers is by, prosecuting. Having successful prosecutions. And it has been demonstrated time and time again, a lot of them, not all of them obviously, but a lot of them are certainly willing to cut corners, bend the rules, and pressure people into pleading guilty to things that they know that they didn't commit, that they know that they didn't do. But they pressure them into it by saying, well, if you don't plead guilty to this charge, we're going to prosecute you on this much higher charge, and you're going to go to jail for 40 years or 60 years. So just take this deal, take the 10 years, and we can all be done with this. And they get a little blue check mark on their record for having a successful prosecution, and an innocent person spends time in jail.
Well, that's exactly right. The Department of Justice gives awards every year for their best prosecutors. Do you know how many times they've given an award for an exoneration or letting an innocent person out of prison? It has never happened in the history of the Department of Justice. The only way you move up is by getting people convicted and getting them to plead guilty to things. And the way they get you to plead guilty, the easiest way is bring you in, ask you a bunch of questions, catch you in misremembering something, charge you with perjury, and say it's going to get much worse for you if you don't plead guilty to this charge. Take it and be done with it. And people have to roll. They can't even defend themselves.
Yep.
When even the president can potentially get rolled by this, everyone in America could have the same thing happen to them today.
I'm very curious. Did you watch his statement yesterday?
I did. I watched it on, I saw Mueller. I mean, the one thing I heard about Mueller, but I didn't really ever listen to him. I never heard his voice, like John, never heard him talk before. But someone had said that he had lost his fastball, which, you know, the guy's 72 years old. I don't know how good he was in his prime.
Sure.
But I saw a guy who was not a prosecutor. He was nervous. He couldn't give a coherent statement. He just read his statement. It was looked like it was put together by someone else because it wasn't the structure that he was speaking. This guy has been controlled by his underlings in order to do what they want to do to President Trump. And his number one underling was the guy who took down Arthur Anderson on a charge that the Supreme Court reversed on a 7-0 or a 9-0 vote. The Supreme Court reversed them, but Andrew Weissman is the guy who destroyed Arthur Anderson over absolutely nothing back in the Enron days.
Howard, we're short on time. We just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing your insight and calling in, man. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always great to hear from you.
Thanks. Great. Keep up great work. You guys are spot on what prosecutors do in America.
They take care. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks.
We'll keep with the theme for a little bit. Got a couple other articles we want to get to. One, there's some points from this Federalist article, the hastily arranged Wednesday press conference. Special Counsel Robert Mueller proved that he was never interested in justice or the rule of law. Also, the man who predicted Trump's victory says Democrats may have to impeach him to have a chance in 2020. We'll get into a few more points on this issue. Give us a call, 651-989-5855.
Was it Shazam?
I don't think so. Welcome back to Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Normally, I'm the one that does that.
I know.
I was telling Sam, I was telling Drew that James McAvoy, the actor, in a recent interview said that they had to reshoot the ending of the last X-Men, the latest X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix,
okay,
because it was a little too similar to a recent superhero film.
And I asked, was it Shazam?
Yeah, that's what he was joking about. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was Endgame, and I'm pretty sure I know how they were planning on ending that, because this is the last of the X-Men series. I'm fairly certain I know how they were planning on wrapping this series up.
Okay.
And they were like, uh-oh, we were gonna do the same thing. That's gotta suck. Can you imagine? Movie's done in the can. You go watch Endgame and go, oh! Not only are they going to make exponentially more money than we ever will, our ending is now the same too, and we're coming out afterwards. Oh, that's gotta hurt. Speaking of gotta hurt, I'm on Twitter. Captain Sanity tweeted this. First, they quoted Robert Mueller. If we had confidence that the president did not commit a crime, we would have said so, said Robert Mueller, to which this person quotes, if you had confidence the president committed a crime, any crime, we would still be talking about the ongoing Mueller investigation, quoted anyone with a brain. It's true.
It is true.
He wrapped it up for a reason. They didn't get anything.
His job, he was tasked with finding crimes. And he didn't.
What a petty, petty man.
That was his job.
So here's some points from this Federalist article. Really good stuff here. As he made abundantly clear during his doddering reading of a prepared statement, this falls right in line with what Howard Root was saying. That's fantastic. Use that one more often. His doddering reading of a statement that repeatedly contradicted itself. Mueller had no interest in the equal application of the rule of law. He gave the game and his naked political intentions away repeatedly throughout his statement. Mueller said this, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. The report has been speaking for itself since April 18th when it was released. If it's important for the work to speak for itself, then why did Mueller schedule a press conference in which he would speak for it weeks after it was released? The statement, given the venue in which it was provided, is self-refuting. Let's start with the Mueller team's unique take on the prosecutor's job. At one point during his remarks, Mueller said, referring to indictments against various Russian individuals and institutions for allegedly hacking American servers during the 2016 election, Mueller had said the indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. That's what he said.
Yep.
Had he stopped there, according to the article, he would have been correct. But then he crafted a brand new standard, saying, and I quote, "The order appointing the special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation and kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of our work. After that investigation, if we had confidence the president did not commit a crime, and we would have said so." So he completely just changed the rules and contradicts himself in the middle of his prepared statement. According to Mueller and his team, the Russians charged are presumed innocent. An American president, however, is presumed guilty unless and until the Mueller team determines he is innocent. Such a standard is an obscene abomination against the rule of law.
You don't determine innocence. You just, that's not how any of this works.
And it points to how petty he is.
You don't have a presumption of guilt. You have a presumption of innocence. Do these people, I'm going to answer my own question. They just don't care.
No, they don't care. No.
The political gains that stand to be made are more important to them than justice, than the rule of law, than the Constitution.
Right.
You know, God forbid, you know, any of them ever get rolled.
Right.
Any of these people that are out here cheering this on and just want Trump frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs because they don't like him, because Orange Man bad. God forbid. I hope none of them ever find themselves getting rolled by an overzealous prosecutor.
And if you want to...
Or otherwise known as a prosecutor.
Right. If you want to go and relate this to like your to like your own world, and I really appreciated, one, Howard Root calling in to share his comments, but two, his own personal interpretation of what he saw in the man Robert Mueller standing up there. But if you've ever worked for a business where you had that Michael Scott-esque boss, or you just had that person that you worked with that was irrational and was unfair and didn't treat things the way they should be treated, you know how difficult it is to go and work in a circumstance like that. I mean, thankfully for us, you know, in all truth, we don't have that. We have a bunch of great, you know, bosses that we all work for that aren't like that. They're very rational individuals. But I've worked for people that are irrational. And it's almost impossible. It's so frustrating to go in to see somebody who is so blatantly biased.
We're not going
to
have another Chad moment, are we?
No, I know. That's why I just mentioned how great he is. He's fantastic. No, I've worked about talking about other guys who I was mentioning
exactly
off the air. Yeah. But that, you know, and we were discussing this, again, off the air, and we talked about it a bit yesterday as well. But these are just humans. And they're flawed humans. And that's what Robert Mueller is. I'm not giving him a pass, but he's a flawed, petty, vindictive individual who was tasked with an incredibly important job and decided yesterday to completely show his hand just how biased he was and what a sham this whole thing has been from the get-go.
Right, but what he decided to do, because, and this is why I don't think you'll ever see him testify in front of Congress, because he doesn't want to be asked the question, when did you determine there was no collusion? When did you determine there was no conspiracy here? What he doesn't want to have to answer for is, at what point did you decide that you were going to do impeachment groundwork for Congress? Because that's what this ended up being. It was impeachment groundwork on behalf of House Democrats. It was, well, you know, I can't get them on collusion, can't get them on conspiracy, can't get them on obstruction of justice. So the only way we can get this guy out of office is if Congress impeaches him. So I got to get enough. I got to get enough dots that they can put together and go, well, you know, he did this and he said this one time and he told an aide this and this. So, yeah, that's enough to move forward with impeachment hearings.
Well, and this really does shed light on the whole, on why he brought the team in that he did, the attachment that his team had to the Hillary Clinton campaign prior. Mueller revealed himself, getting back to this article, as little more than a clone of James Comey, the smarmy, scheming politician who replaced Mueller as the head of the FBI. And you get further on in the article, and we quoted this earlier, nationwide bar rules governing all practicing attorneys in the U.S. explicitly prohibit Mueller's display during Wednesday's press conference. The prosecutor in a criminal case shall, and I'm quoting here from the state's rule 3.8 subsection F, right, of the American Bar Association Rules of Professional Conduct. This is what it says. The prosecutor in a criminal case shall refrain from making extrajudicial statements that have a substantial likelihood of heightening public condemnation of the accused.
As if public condemnation of Trump could be heightened.
Right. Have we reached peak public condemnation of Trump? Multiple federal agents and prosecutors reached out to the Federalist after Mueller's press conference to express dismay at the former FBI's behavior. I'd have been crucified under this rule for a non-innocent comment about an uncharged party, a former federal prosecutor told the Federalist. I literally cannot fathom holding a press conference to say that an uncharged person was not innocent. That is unbelievable.
I want people to think about the precedent that this would set were the House to move forward on impeachment. You're moving forward on impeachment based on nothing, basically. Really, very little. You're impeaching the guy at the root of it because you didn't want him to win. He wasn't supposed to win. This was Hillary's turn. It was her time. You know, think about what that's going to do going forward. We've already had a lot of precedent sort of blown up in the last couple decades when you think about how judges get confirmed and things like that. And people lamenting, you know, oh, just, you know, when your party's in the minority, you're not going to be real happy that we've blown up this process now. You know, these are safeguards. This will be the precedent,
right,
that will be set. If you've got a president from party X and the House is controlled by party Y, you're going to see this dynamic play out in perpetuity going forward. Is that what you really want? Do you really want the House in constant impeachment mode when the president happens to be from the other party? Because that's the precedent that this will set if they go forward with it.
It doesn't matter to the left right now and the anti-Trumpers and the orange man bad. It doesn't matter. They're so blinded by their hatred of Trump that they don't, that doesn't even register, I'm convinced, in their minds.
It's not even, it'll never happen.
That's not a question they even want to fathom. Happen. Whatever. It's not going to happen. Once Trump is gone, it'll be all over.
Yeah, once they're done dehumanizing Republicans through, you know, entertainment and pop culture anyway, chances are they'll probably never win an election again.
Mueller's performance made it clear for all those to see that what he ran for the last 2 years wasn't an independent investigation pursuant to the rule of law so much as an inquisition motivated by political animus. Mueller claimed his report spoke for itself, then put together a completely unnecessary press conference for more than a month after the report's public release, in which he not just spoke for the report, but expounded on the new legal standards he created to govern its conclusions. These are not the actions of an impartial and independent investigator, but of a scheming political operative. None of this is any surprise to anyone who has followed Mueller's tenure in government. As FBI director, Mueller repeatedly misused and abused the authority granted to him by Congress. Mueller said afterwards, "I do not apologize for any aspect of the investigation." He then doubled down and said it would be wrong to say there were any mistakes in how he handled the investigation. "There is no longer any doubt about who Robert Mueller is or why he conducted himself the way that he did. As abominable as his press conference was, we should, in many ways, be thankful that Mueller so willingly displayed for all to see his disdain for basic rules of prosecutorial conduct, his total lack of self-awareness, and his naked desire to stick it to Trump." And I agree. I'm glad that Mueller did that, because honestly, I had a very sort of neutral view of Robert Mueller and this investigation until yesterday. But now it's clear that he's no better than Nadler. Yeah. He's no better than Klobuchar. He's no better than Booker. I mean, you name it. Pelosi, Schumer. He went into this wholeheartedly believing that dossier, true or not, was going to be the thing that would send them down the path to get Trump, because he himself was probably so convinced that Trump was guilty that he was willing to go and spend all this money and time and his own effort to go and find it. We got this dossier. This is all we need to get him, and we'll have this investigation and spend millions, and we'll get him. And at the end of the day, what? He got nothing.
Right, right. All because the Democrats couldn't keep Russians out of their email servers, and President Obama failed to do anything to mitigate the Russian attempts to spread propaganda that could influence the election. Not actually meddle in the sense of changing votes, people.
Right, right.
All right? There's a huge difference there, but spreading propaganda in order to influence while Obama was president.
Apparently, there was a theater in D.C. that was supposed to have a play called FBI Lovebirds.
I want to see this.
This was going to be a play
this
in which
really good.
The actors, yeah, Dean Cain and Christy Swanson.
I know, I like them.
Those are like D-listers.
Yeah, in like 1997, they were big deals.
They were huge. He was Superman.
He was. She was something
in movies.
She was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You're right.
She was in the movie version.
That's a good call. You're right. She's very conservative on Twitter. They were playing the FBI agents, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Oh, it's not going to happen now.
Oh, why not?
Well, we'll give you the details coming up, and at which time we'll also dive deep into the Rolling Stones and why, apparently, they should stop singing the very effective